So still season three.
Season three.
It's among us.
So far, I'm saying it every episode.
Yeah. Yeah, because even if someone listens to this in the year 2050.
Yeah, they'll know. At least this was a season three episode.
They'll know it.
Yeah. If we make it that crazy. Long. Seems like a long time.
Yeah. But that's sad.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. Yeah. It's good. It's good news.
No, we're glad to share these moments that we have together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I almost did Carol Burnett. But you can't.
No.
Nobody knows that anyway.
I wouldn't have. I mean, I know who Carol Burnett is.
Yeah, she has that song that she sang at the end.
Oh, right.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
Yeah,
just
that's
to have
right.
a laugh or sing a song. Seems to just get started, and before you know it comes the time we have to say so long.
Yeah.
And then she'd tug one of her ears, and rumor had it that she'd tug that ear so many times that lobe was longer.
That was a signal for somebody to go to bed or something, though? Like her daughter? What was
yes.
that? Something like that? I'm not saying that that's right.
Right.
But
no,
I think she did
tell us that.
Yeah. That Carol Burnett. She's a national treasure, too.
Crazy Carol. So.
Off to a great start.
Yeah, we are.
What's, are you starting us off?
Yeah, I'm going to start us off. I think, wait, we have a topic.
Oh, we do.
Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We're talking about food this week. Nice job.
In remembering topics.
Yeah. Food.
Food it is. They're almost all a wheat-based food, I think, but maybe they're not. Are your two wheat-based foods?
One could argue, that one could have some wheat in it. The other one, no.
No. So we got 3 out of 4 on the wheat.
Yeah.
So my first one is Baker's Dozen.
All right.
Right?
Yeah sure. Which always fascinated me.
First off, what's a baker's dozen, Ray?
Well, I believe a baker's dozen is 13 of something.
13?
Right.
You order a dozen.
Right.
But you get 13.
Right, a dozen being 12.
A dozen being 12.
In our system of measurements.
Right.
Whatever here. Right.
But, yeah, but this a dozen was in merry old England and everything, you know. It's not metric or non-metric. Everyone had the dozen.
It's not an imperial dozen.
No.
Versus a metric dozen.
Right.
Wouldn't a metric dozen just be 10?
It should be 10.
What do you got, a metric dozen there?
But a metric baker's dozen would be 11.
I'm going to say.
But it's not. It's just 12 and 13 everywhere.
I'm going to start using that. What do you got, a metric dozen there? What? No, 10. What? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why do these bakers have a special dozen?
Well,
what do they know that we don't know? What system of math do they use?
So let's take it like this. Imagine a rectangle cupcake pan with 3 rows of muffin holes. All right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. 3 rows of muffin holes.
And so you put 5 muffins down the middle row.
Okay.
And then you intersperse the outer rows in between them.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And you put 4 on each end.
Okay.
So it goes 4, 5, 4.
Yeah.
And.
But so they fit in between each other, kind of.
And it allows you to keep the corners, because in the old ovens with the fire and stuff, the corners would get more singed. So you keep the muffins a little away from the corners.
Yeah.
And you'd end up with a pan that had in one baking
mm-hmm.
13 muffins, let's say, in it.
All right. Yeah.
And it's just an even way to distribute those. So they were all cooked at the same time. They all went in there together, all the same stuff.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Mabel came in for a dozen. She's getting this back.
It's a whole tray. We don't break up the trays.
Don't break up the tray. Like, you follow that person through in front of you through the red light because you're still with them.
Right. You're like, I'm a part of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not it. Although many
cool.
many want to be a proponent of it, and I have no idea why.
I don't know. I was trying to work out how it would fit on a baking pan, but I could draw, maybe. I don't know. It seemed like it made sense. Muffin holes.
You know, it also makes sense.
What's that?
These nuts.
Nice.
But sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize to me.
Really, to our listeners, because I'll just probably leave that in.
Yeah, I would.
So here's the thing. I'm going to give you the true money, and then fill you in on some tasty bits.
All right.
This goes back a long way, like 12th century, 13th century area.
Okay.
You got your King Henry, not the 8th.
No,
we're just in
pre.
Like the 3rd. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I guess you had to be worried about thievery, and you had to be worried about the village and the people not abiding by laws and not behaving. And so King Henry III said, you know, nuts to this. I'm going to pass a rule.
Yeah.
We all know how much wheat costs. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the village knows how much the wheat costs.
Yeah.
Now the baker takes the wheat and makes stuff with it.
Yeah.
Bread, for example.
Sure.
So we will tie the cost of what you can charge for bread directly to the cost that we know what you paid for the wheat.
Yeah.
And you can't be mucking around.
Sure.
So this was done in weight.
Mm-hmm.
So the bakers would make these loaves. If you came in for, you know, 12 of something, the bakers would make these, and there were great penalty for breaking the king's law.
Mm-hmm.
So you dare not undersell your customer. If that customer was connected to the king's men or a shill for the king's men coming in to buy and mm-hmm. check on you, you didn't want to be short of weight.
Yeah.
So you threw in a damn free one.
Yeah.
Just to avoid the chance that you'd be found underweight.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's said they threw in 2 free ones. You'd get 14 things when you ordered a dozen.
Crazy.
It's a good day to be living. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to avoid getting possibly killed.
Just to avoid getting, well, there's no penalty that says killed, but that's coming in my fun facts.
Oh.
For one, in 1477, the penalty was being fined, pilloried, or flogged.
Oh.
What's the difference between pillory and flog?
I did think they were similar. Does the pillory have more like cuttingness to it or something?
I thought the pillar was that head and the hands through.
That's the stockade.
That's a stockade. So what's a flog?
Oh, it is a... You're right. You're right. That is a pillory as well. Huh. Yeah. No, that is. It's the same. I looked it up.
It is.
Yeah, pillory is a wooden framework with holes for the head and hands in which an offender was imprisoned and exposed to public abuse.
Yeah. I mean, in the Holy Grail, there's always people in those things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every time you turn around, someone's in one of those.
The one they cut back to, the one he's clapping and dancing.
So.
This,
what's a flogging?
Well, a stock is a barrier formed by upright wooden posts or stakes, especially as a defense against attack. Or like a fence.
Stockade. So
stockade. Why do people say stocks then?
We're going to have to look more into that.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Pillory.
Pillory.
Pillory, yeah. How long do you have to stay out there for the bread crimes? It's like a one-day pillory or like a weekend?
I'd like to see some of these, the actual laws and the guidelines.
Ugh, that sounds terrible. You know.
Yeah, what if your nose itched?
Anything
itched, or someone could just come along and just kick you in the side.
I mean, that's part of it. I think that was part of it. People would just do that shit. Yeah, come up, punch you in the junk. We're like, what the? I just didn't have enough bread flour.
He didn't own a scale. You know, I don't know how bakers didn't own scales, but it said that many didn't. Otherwise, would just weigh it before you gave it to the customer.
A tool of the wealthy, yeah. How are you just buying scales? You got to worry. Well, I guess you don't want to get pilloried.
You're a baker.
Pillared.
You got to weigh ingredients to bake it. Anyway, I guess everyone. So this wasn't new or unique to England. And there's an example that someone dug up that in Egypt, a baker who cheated somebody in this way would have their ear nailed to the door of their bakery. Now, on or off the body, I wonder.
Oh,
is it? Yeah. Are you just nailed by your ear to the door?
Yeah.
Or do they cut your ear off and nail it to the door?
That sounds way worse. Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, because if they just nail you to the door by your ear, I mean, it's ugly and you get tetanus and all that.
Yeah, probably going to die. I guess, either way.
But you might not.
You might not, yeah.
Right?
Seems like a full ear removal might lead to the death.
And you could yell out to a customer for help and tell them you'll give them a free dozen, just get a pry bar and get you off of this door, right?
Yeah.
I guess you could just pull your own. It would hurt like man.
Yeah, right. You could just pull off of it, you know, yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are also, here again, we're talking Babylon, but the same principle was in place then. So Henry III wasn't up to anything new, but in Babylon, you had your hand cut off as well. So
is this any baker or any like thief? Like a baker that steals it, you'd have your hand cut off?
Purportedly, the same, bakers. Bakers cheating.
Just bakers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never knew it was dangerous to be a baker.
Seriously? Yeah. Sounds pretty like a really difficult career.
It does.
Yeah. No wonder you throw the extra one in. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a damn free one.
Here's the 13. It weighs out. We're good. See ya.
They got to make money. And so you start giving away free loaves and it hurts the margin, you know? You're gonna lose money. So they had some little tricks to work around it, unfortunately. I think I've tasted some of these tricks. One of them was, well, you know, when I was a kid, and people don't try this at home, it's not nice. But when I was a kid, teenager, I say kid so that you have more forgiveness to me, but I was a rotten little teenage boy. Me and my sister's boyfriend, we'd save aluminum cans to put in the recycle, but at that time, we'd take them somewhere and get money for them.
Yeah.
And you'd crush them with your foot. We didn't have a fancy can crusher like we do here at Big Science. You'd crush them with your foot. So I developed this system of collecting little heavy pebbles, and you'd put a little heavy pebble in each can before you crushed it. And you crushed it, and it would stay in there. It wouldn't shake because you smash it really good. But it added to the overall weight of the bag.
Right.
You know, we'd get more money for the bag of cans. So apparently bakers would put some heavy sand in, and that way when weighed by the law, you came out fine and heavy, but you were feeding your people sand.
So they put it in the bread, not just like in the bag.
No, yeah, they put it in the bread. They ground sand more fine and added it. Yeah.
Huh.
And that there is a workaround. No, I don't know if they started searching bakers' kitchens for sand supplies. You have to hide it.
Now you got a whole other thing you got to outlaw.
And in digging up baker, I also saw that the word Baxter, remember, Mr. Baxter, Baxter comes from Baker and is a surname based in Baker, but don't quote me on that one. That's just a free aside that may or may not be true.
Got it.
So that's Baker's Dozen.
Baker's Dozen. Huh.
Yeah.
I like the pan. The muffin holes, 13 muffin holes, just because it all works out nice.
Sure.
But I mean, I guess fine.
But that's just not it. But you could picture that pan. It exists, right? Like a cupcake pan. But I don't know what that, you don't cook loaves of bread in a giant pan.
No, they got their own pans now.
Just one at a time.
Yeah.
Or maybe you got one that's got like four loaves, you know, side by each.
Man, what do you think 13th century muffins tasted like? Sand, I guess.
Well, if you got from a good baker, they might have been good. They might have been dense, though. I bet they were dense.
Like, what kind of repeatability do you have? You know what I mean? Like, you can make one. That's where I was going with the first batch thing that you were saying. Like, yeah, you get one batch and it all tastes the same. And then the second batch you make might not taste the same as the first batch, right?
I mean, It's just consistency of your wheat supplier.
Right, but maybe you don't have a scale. What kind of measuring, you know?
Miller.
Just curious.
Yeah, if you don't have a scale.
Right.
But you get good. I mean, you get good at things.
Sure.
Doing it by eye or feel.
Yeah, I hear you.
Can't really do it by ear. Once you screw up once, you're missing one.
Yeah. You're like...
What do you got?
Proof is in the pudding.
Proof is in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
This is a non-wheat one.
No, this is the wheat one.
Pudding is in wheat?
I'm saying... Okay, yeah. I'm throwing in flour. And it's not wheat, but it's flour.
Flour.
And rice.
Yeah.
So I'm throwing it in with... I said kind of like wheat. The other one's no wheat. Which, when we say the proof is in the pudding, we're saying the real value of something can be judged from practical experience. Right?
Oh, you put it like that.
Yeah. I mean, what were you going to say?
Ha, ha. You say it.
Yeah.
That's a definition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Proof is in the pudding. It's like you would say, my matar paneer is the best you can get.
Right.
And I would say, I have to eat it, and then I'll tell you.
Right.
Your matar paneer is... this aforementioned pudding, and the proof is in that dish.
Right, me tasting that dish.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We did it.
It might not be pudding at all. How could you have your meat if you don't eat your pudding? No, it's backwards.
Pudding, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I got lost in the lyrics.
Pink Floyd.
There's a fuller expression of this proverb, which dates back to 1600s. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, as we just touched upon.
Wow, it's so much more clear.
It's so much more clear.
It's like we don't even need to explain that one.
No, we don't. 1605, all the proof of a pudding is in the eating.
You say that about anything.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So what is pudding?
I've never made it. Is it like cream and smashed cow bones and stuff?
The OED has definition. The first definition of pudding is the stomach or one of the entrails of a pig, sheep, or other animal stuffed with a mixture of minced meat, suet, oatmeal, seasoning, and boiled.
You said minced meat?
Minced meat, yeah. Slash a kind of sausage.
All right, pudding, yeah.
And this is 1378, but even more so back. He eat many sundry meats, mortres, and puddings. And mortres is a word that means food as well. Puddings was spelled P-U-D-D-Y-N-G-E-S back in the 1300s. Definition two that the OED has is a boiled, steamed, or baked dish made with various sweet or sometimes savory ingredients added to a mixture typically including milk, eggs, and flour. And then it says, or sometimes suet, rice, semolina, which is flour.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Suet.
Yeah. So there's suet in both of these, by the way.
it's like a crepe or maybe a blintz. So you could have it for a dessert or you could have it for the meal. Depends on how you...
Well, they're right. There's different puddings.
Yeah.
And these are sort of... I don't want to say at the same time puddings, but kind of. Like, they're using the meat pudding and also the dessert-y type of pudding at the same time. 1589...
You'd have pudding meal and pudding dessert.
Right. Like, we're having pudding. You're like, oh, sweet, I guess. 1589, a pudding made of milk, cheese, and herbs, mortum herbosum moratum, which is kind of that mortress food.
All right.
Food and herbal food. we've been using definition two since about the 16th century, and definition one had predated that for a few hundred years, but not, I guess that's a long time, a few hundred years.
It is.
So why does pudding seemingly mean sausage? That's what the first definition is, the entrails of a pig, sheep, or other animal stuffed with other stuff. That's a sausage, right? That's what we would call.
That's totally a sausage.
Yeah. Goes to an Anglo-Norman French Bodin, which means sausage. B-O-D-E-Y-N, B-O-D-I-N, which is around the second half of the 13th century, maybe a little bit earlier. Old French, Middle French, it's kind of Boudin, B-O-U-D-I-N, which is a type of sausage.
This really sounds familiar.
It's, yeah, I thought that too, but I don't know why.
Me either.
There's also a possible way it made its way from late Latin, a word called puddingom, this starts with a P instead of the B's, P-U-D-I-N-G-O-M. But also, it goes back even before some of these Anglo-Norman French to actual surnames of people in the 1100s and 1200s. Angleward pudding, Auratus pudding, Willemus pudding, Stefano pudding.
How do you get this name? Because you make the pudding?
Right? I mean, is that...
You're the pudding maker.
Right, you make the sausage.
Like the baker.
Right, right. I mean, I'm guessing that's kind of what we're doing.
It's got to be.
Yeah. But, you know, it really kind of is that simple. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Is it pudding? Let's taste it and find out. Is it real? We got to see to see. The proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, what you're charged with was the proof is in the pudding.
Yes.
That's our idiom.
Sure.
Of modern day times.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, it didn't change much.
It didn't change much.
Yeah.
But it left a slight bit to be desired in its deletion of a few words there.
You think
so? But then you could say it as anything.
Yeah.
The proof
right.
is in the sandwich.
Right. Well, it's got the alliteration that we all love.
Sure. It's all it's got.
Yeah. Maybe their meaning, is it the meat pudding? Is it the sausage or is it the dessert? The proof is in the eating. We'll find out. which pudding is this?
Yeah, I'm going to need to know in advance.
What? Well, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't come across in modern times someone throwing mincemeat and hunks of guts into our pudding.
Well, over here, but that's not what pudding means in other places.
I don't even
it
like
still
to
stands
find,
for
like,
sausage.
Those tapioca balls in there that grosses me out.
No, it's a worldwide, I believe, sausage is or type of thing, pudding.
I got to be careful when world traveling.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
Not to accept an offer of pudding.
Yeah, just wait. Is this the one with...
Is it
in a box with
chocolate.
Jello in it?
Do you have chocolate? Yeah. Otherwise, I don't want it.
And suet. Make sure it has some suet
no,
in there.
I don't want suet.
And semolina.
Literally give that to the birds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right there. You got to taste it to find out. You know, you don't have to taste... To
All
find
right.
out.
What?
I don't know. I was going to bring it into the mattress.
Oh,
that
the
doesn't
mattress.
Make any sense.
You could say.
You don't have to taste
you
the mattress.
Eat the mattress.
You don't want to taste the Allswell mattress.
No.
But you probably wouldn't mind a 100-night risk-free trial.
Who would?
Or financing as low as 0%.
APR.
APR. that Allswell mattress.
Yeah.
It may not taste good, but it fits on box springs, platform beds, adjustable and slatted bed frames.
It does.
Right?
Yeah, I've heard this about it. It's a good mattress.
And you get the best of both worlds. You've got a memory foam and coils.
That's the thing about it. It's both. So you get a little bit of that, what you're used to, some support with some springs, but then memory foam with it.
To add that little bit of comfort.
You're trying to do that now with your old box spring and buy one of those toppers and stick it on there.
The egg grates.
But I mean, that's just like that's a cobbler's way of doing it.
Yeah, giving it a shot. You're like trying it out.
Yeah.
What does foam feel like on top of a box spring? Well, Allswell can tell you. They've got free shipping and 10-year life. Well, nope, 10-year limited warranty.
Yeah. I don't know what the white glove thing is.
It's optional. White glove setup.
Oh.
And they take your old mattress away.
I guess so.
So someone will come with white gloves and set you up.
Nice job with that.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that in that one Homer Simpson episode where he's eating his blanket because he's dreaming of pancakes because Marge is cooking in the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know what?
What's that?
Just this very place where we produce Whole Nine Yards and so many other things.
Yeah, any kind of audio.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Big Science right here.
Right here.
If you work anywhere in the advertising industry, you kind of probably need Big Science. We write music, we create sound, we add texture and sonic landscapes to your content.
Nice.
Mixing, recording, casting. We record people from all over the world.
All over the world.
And high fidelity. High fidelity. That's just the way we like to say fidelity. That's
fidelity.
Fidelity. Oh, man. All of that right here.
Right here.
Radio. Don't sell radio short.
No.
If you're working for an ad agency and you need some great radio spots, we've won a lot of awards in all humility with our radio production. Con Gold Lion winners, One Show winners, Gold Pencils. Gee, I hate to toot our own horn, but somebody's got to.
Yeah, I'm not good at it personally.
Got to do it.
Sure. How other people know?
Well, sure. So this is what we do. Idioms are what we do for fun.
Just for fun.
Just for, can you imagine? How tortured are our lives?
Yes, right, exactly.
So Big Science, go to bigsciencemusic.com if you are indeed in the ad industry or just curious.
Any industry, audiobooks, podcasts.
Right, you're right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Anything you need audio-wise.
Film, you work in film post-production. We do fantastic ADR.
Need some Foley.
Actor in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Foley, all that good stuff. BigScienceMusic.com, BigScienceMusic.com. I have no discount code for you, sorry. All right, so back at it, though, all that selling stuff.
Yeah. With food.
Still with food, yeah.
Yeah.
Still with food.
Season 3. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
No, that's good. Keep it up. I have Take the Cake.
No, all right.
Ray, you take the cake.
Oh, shucks.
Right?
Oh, you.
So when I say that, how do you feel about that?
I feel positive.
You do? What am I saying to you?
I mean, I think, well, you're great. You're just so swell.
That takes the cake.
That's great. That's so awesome. That's great job. You know, like a goodness.
That's something.
Am I hitting it?
Yeah.
Am I appropriately
taking
the cake?
Yeah, I think I use it sometimes wrong in a more derogatory kind of way, you know?
Like in an ironic, that takes the cake. I guess that wasn't really a...
Yeah, like last night, it snowed here. It was going to snow.
Yeah.
And then a fella upstairs parked, and I was worried the plow man couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning.
Yeah.
And I would have said to myself, oh, well, doesn't that just take the cake?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I would have said it like that, meaning, doesn't it just figure? But
yeah.
But what you're saying is more right.
All right.
First recorded in 1874 in the Indiana Progress. You thought it was an earlier
thing. I don't know. It just seems like late 1800s. It has like a thing, but it seemed, you know, it's like one of those, you just assume it's around longer, but really, why would it be?
The fact is that the idea of this has been around for a long, long time.
Oh.
Since way yonder, pre-Pliny, I like to say.
That's like 1300s, right? I thought
Pliny was first century.
Okay, I don't have a specific idea in my head at the moment of our buddy. Yeah. Epic journalist,
Yeah, because the other, Aristophanes, what the hell's his name?
Aristophanes.
Aristophanes, he was like 800s, right, or something in there?
Oh, man, Pliny's way older than that. Yeah. 79 AD is when he died.
Yeah, I said first century.
We're way back. Yeah, you're right. Wow.
So this is pre-Pliny.
Pre-Pliny. Yeah. Wow. This is...
He's the other side of the integer line.
Yeah, I was getting cake back then.
Well, they had those bakers cutting off people's hands. So...
Sandy, nice.
A literal translation of the ancient Greek in Aristophanes, the knights.
Nice.
Gives us this line. If you surpass him in impudence, the cake is ours. And here's the reason. Although it's, you know, I do think of it wrong, but there are all these other variations that have nothing to do with it. Example? Oh, I'll give you one. A piece of cake. Life's a piece of cake.
Piece of cake.
Right? That's not the same thing. That, what you're doing right there, that's a cakewalk. Cakewalk.
Mm-hmm. Cakewalk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to come back to that.
Cakewalk.
There's easy as pie. Easy as pie.
Yeah.
No, that's not cake.
No.
But
they're distinct.
But somehow interchangeable. And also, cake eater. I say this one a lot.
We did that. We did cake eater.
We did cake eater.
Yeah.
Here's what it really boils down to. You see, in the 19th century, people didn't know what else to do to entertain themselves, so they have these contests.
Sure.
You had some books.
Yeah.
You could draw until the sun went down, then you can't see anything.
right? Like I'm Abe Lincoln over here. Sorry, just I was thinking of something else.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So you get 10 couples, all right?
Okay.
And they're in a circle.
Okay.
And each one of them is holding a cake.
Okay.
And they're facing each other, right? Mm-hmm. In a circle. Each couple is holding the cake facing each other.
Are they both holding the cake?
They're both holding the cake.
Okay.
And then one couple is back to back with the next couple. You picture this? And they're
How
in a circle.
Are you facing each other then? The couple's facing each other.
The couple faces
gotcha.
Each other. You okay. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sorry, I thought the people were all, gotcha, yeah.
And then they're all holding a cake between them and the couple, right?
Okay.
And then, so they have to walk in a circle. And so one person has to walk backwards.
Right.
And one person forwards. You also could trip the person's heels.
You could,
yeah.
Yeah. Flat tire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you walk around in circles. Some couples drop the cake,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure. Are you going to fall?
You're going to fall.
Someone.
So the deal is, the last couple to not drop the cake wins.
So it's like musical chairs.
Some form of that, isn't it? And you got to keep walking. You're walking through fallen cake.
Right? Stepping over people.
People, bodies, chairs.
Are you walking in a circle?
You're still walking in a circle.
So you're just making a big circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is a lie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so wild.
That is not it.
10 people are going to bake. Come on. Back in Pliny the Elders.
No, this is 19th century.
No, sorry.
But the real truth is not far from it.
Oh, just one couple has the cake.
No, the real truth is, you know, really the mid-latter part of 19th century, but I suppose, you know, the second half of 19th century and on into early part of the 20th century.
Yeah.
The cakewalk is a dance. It's kind of a dance.
Oh.
And it's a high-stepping, fun. It's the moves you think of in early 20th century. You know, a couple locked arm in arm with these big kicks and and sort of fancy dress, you know, tuxedo. You could go onto a very popular video platform.
Yeah.
And type in vintage cakewalk, and you'll find several actual films.
Nice.
So this was a dance. This is true.
Yeah.
And it was a dance contest. I got my little ruse from truth. The best ruses are based in truth.
They gotta be.
And the winner of the dance contest was awarded the prize, often a cake.
Nice.
a quote from, I don't know what, where the devil this is from, a Indiana Progress. This is what I was going to say earlier, and then I backed away from it. The cakewalk, in which 10 couples participated, came off on Friday night, and the judges awarded the cake, which was a very beautiful and costly one, to Sarah and John Jackson. So they won.
They took the cake.
They took, Ray, the cake. They took the cake.
The cakewalk took the cake.
The cakewalkers. Now, nowhere, and believe me, I looked, could I find the answer to this question. Did we have a dance contest where the only prize we could muster up was a cake? And so we, and I'm not saying a cake's a bad prize. I'd like a nice cake myself.
Yeah.
But did we have the dance contest with a cake prize first? Or did we have this dance that for some reason it was called the cakewalk, which I can't tell why. And then we awarded, then we decided, well, the prize has to be a cake because the dance is a cakewalk.
The dance is called cakewalk, yeah. That makes sense.
I can't figure.
No chicken and egg theories here.
No.
Or it is chicken and egg theories, I guess. We don't have an answer.
Well, it's chicken and egg conundrum. So that's what I got for cakewalk. It's a real dance.
Yeah.
Real dance contest from late 19th century, let's say. And from what I can tell, all the people involved in this dancing competition in several versions that I looked at all seem to be very much enjoying themselves.
Sure.
As a fun-looking dance.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
Well, that may take the cake, but I've got other fish to fry.
Oh, this is the wheat-free one.
This is the wheat-free one. Wheat-free here. This one's gluten-safe. Other fish to fry.
Mm.
Also, perhaps bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Both of those. It seems like one will argue which one is which, but they're both, you know, both kind of the same. Not which one is which. Which one is the real one? They're both the real one. Seems like other might be a little bit older. But yeah, other fish to fry means I've got some other things I got to do.
What you're talking about right now isn't as important as the rest of the things on my list.
Yeah.
Right?
So, exactly. Yeah. Or, right, a concern of yours is not the concern. I've got a bigger concern here, or I've got to deal with something more important, perhaps, in my mind. Or just even other stuff to do. You know, maybe it's not important at all. Maybe just like, yeah, I got other stuff to do.
Well, that would be the other. But when you say bigger, you're insinuating your things are more important.
The bigger does insinuate that, yeah, for sure. This first crops up in 1660 in a memoir. I fear he hath other fish to fry.
It's right to the point, isn't it?
Yeah, they are. 1889... in the work Poor Gentleman. I've got other things in hand. I've got other fish to fry.
Huh.
He's got other fish to fry. But this phrase was already popular even by the 1660s, basically. And it gains even more popularity after being printed in a written book, as we find once authors get a hold of things, they like to send them out there.
Is it Sam Pepys, the 1660s?
This is not Samuel Pepys. No, this is a translation, an English translation of Don Quixote. Cervantes uses the phrase otres cosas en que pensar, which is Spanish, but it literally means other things on which to think. But in this translation by Motteau, he was excited, perhaps to show off his knowledge of English language and the idioms of which it incorporates. So he changes the line, or translates the line to, I have other fish to fry, in this work of Don Quixote. But that's just some fun facts. This one is pretty old.
And pensar?
Pensar.
Pensar?
Yeah.
I like the way you said it. I could try
Thank
to
you.
Say it.
Yeah, I looked up the pronunciations. Season
little,
three.
Little flair on
Season
it.
Season three. Oh, yeah. Phrase finder tossed out just speculation that it may be tied to like an other fish in the sea type of deal, which is from the 1500s, but there's not really any proof there at all. Do you know the movie Batman Returns? Starring local legend Michael Keaton. And local legend Christopher Walken. Sort of local. CMU, right?
Walken went to CMU?
I thought he did.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to look it up real fast.
Well, certainly I know this motion picture.
Do you really? Because that's awesome.
It was like one of the first Batman, the big Batman. It was the first big Batman, right, with Paul Rubens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's a... Wow, Paul Rubens has such a small part in this movie.
Yeah,
that's
but when
awesome.
That came out, everybody knew all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Herman's going to be in this one.
Nice. Yeah, it's the second Batman movie in the series of Michael Keaton, Tim Burton, Batman's Batman Returns, you know?
Yeah.
But yes, exactly. Right. Paul Rubens is Oswald Cobblepot's father.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I would have just said dude guy's father because I didn't know his name.
Yeah, well, it's the Penguin in the characters, but Danny DeVito plays the part. The makeup in that movie and the costuming is so good. Danny DeVito looks amazing.
He's a good looking penguin guy.
Does a great job. Like, it's just so nice. But Christopher Walken's character Max Schreck is kind of he owns the department store. But he's like the capitalist guy that runs the city, kind of guy, evil guy,
right.
bad guy. We don't like this guy. And he says after he throws, spoiler alert, everybody, if you haven't seen Batman Returns,
it's like a 30-year-old movie.
Yeah, for sure. Max Schreck throws Selina Kyle out of a window in a previous scene, and she comes. She's Catwoman. She becomes Catwoman in this interpretation. Comes back to life, essentially, and then he shows up at work the next day. Shocking Max Schreck, Christopher Walken. After the scene's over, Selina comes and goes. He's like, whatever. He says, bottom line, she tries to blackmail me, I'll drop her out a higher window. Meantime, I've got badder fish to fry. He says badder fish to fry. I thought it was bigger up until this afternoon when I watched it several times. Like, no, he definitely says badder fish to fry. Which
Why
is
would
not
he say that?
I don't I'm not sure. Like, he's out to do more things, to do more harm to the city, so he's not worried that this, you know, so I mean, I guess it could be a literal bad. It just I thought he said bigger fish to fry up until today when I realized he says it seems like he says badder.
And he didn't say batter,
like, no. Right. I've got some batter fish I have to fry. Right. No.
I had to ask.
It could have been, I mean, that might have been a gag. You know, that could be the gag.
No, but he meant
it seemed like worse or
trouble to get into.
Right. So if you want to say batter fish to fry, go for it. But like I said, bigger fish to fry is a sister phrase to only other fish to fry.
Batter. Bigger, other.
Exactly. But yeah, Batman Returns. It's a good one. It's a Christmas movie, so you can watch it at Christmas time.
See, Christmas is over. No one told me that was on the list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's okay. I just recently learned that the damn Die Hard was a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was late to the dance.
It's at Christmas time. Anything Gremlins also, if anyone's looking for next year's suggestions.
Gremlins.
Yeah, Gremlins also happens at Christmas time.
Hmm.
The first one. The second one's a New Year's movie, actually.
Yeah, New Year's. Well, if you like. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life ends on Auld Lang Syne.
Right.
But it's a Christmas movie per se.
It is an epic.
Does she have to keep practicing that song? Anyway.
Seriously, I know so many things only through satire and parody. Of that, I mean, I watched it the one year. I did.
Yeah, I'm happy that you did at least take it in.
No, and I'll take it in again for sure.
But we digress.
That was this, yeah.
Yeah.
Season three.
That's where we are.
That's what we did. We did food.
We did food.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and we would like. You know what? We're really. If you made it this far, we should ask this early on. If you made it this far, you know, we could use some. If you don't hate us, you know, review on some of the
helpful
platforms. Yeah. We really could, you know, press some stars for us because you know, the people that could help sponsor us and help keep us going. You know, they don't know.
Yeah.
So if they see those reviews, they're like, oh, who are these guys?
Maybe these guys got some people, maybe.
Toss a couple of their shillings their way. So you can do that for us, please, if you would. Or you can just contact us and tell us anything. Ask us stuff.
Yeah. Anything, really.
Yeah. No, I forget which part I do.
The other part.
I do the part that says, call us, contact us, Whole Nine Yards Pod on...
the Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit.
Yeah. And then, or Whole Nine Yards Podcast.
And that's on Facebook.
Or the meme.
/ Meta.
Oh, meme. Meta.
Meta.
I said meme. And yeah, it's a great thing. Rebecca's going to tell you the email address if you want to do that.
Yeah.
And everything's wonderful. I'm Jay.
I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@wholenineyards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.